Wapnog people, some of their, the elders and the holy people of their nation gave me this name. I'm also by adoption a member of the Red Eagle Clan, and most of their elders and leaders live in Mexico City and in Taos, New Mexico. And I served my first Lutheran parish as a pastor on a Fort Totten Sioux reservation. The Sioux is a white word, of course. We say Washishu word. It's the Dakota, mostly. Some the Lakota, but mostly it's the Dakota. The Sioux are the people, of course, that, which way do we say? Were made famous by, or made famous, the film Dances with Wolves. Actually, I think they're the ones that made famous, because in a certain sense, costume knew which band of people, as far as we know, their artwork. Now, I don't want to, I'm not saying it against others, but as far as feathers and skins and furs and beads and shells and color and things that flowed and blowed in the wind, the Northern Plains people were the epitome. Maybe others were as good, but no one was better. What you see here, and what I wear, basically is copied. I don't mean to copy this exactly. Let's see, inspired by the art ways of the Northern Plains people. I'll show you first myself. Do we know what's going on? Maybe we are supposed to turn on a switch or something. That I was supposed to do, I don't know about. How many of you here know which animal this skin came from?
Deer.
Yes. Why don't I use naga hide or a cow skin? Can you imagine?
What an insult.
I mean, the animal, okay, is one of the... I'm on where?
Yeah, we're taping you. Do you want louder sound? Or?
Well, I thought, yeah, through the room, too. Can
yeah,
be turned on?
That's a whole different system, and it'll take a little bit more elaborate stuff to...
Oh, okay, we'll go with what we got.
If you're loud enough, we can do it.
So this is deer. The native people, before the Washishus brought over the cattle, or the sheep, or the goats, which of course now are a mainstay among many of the Navajo, Hopi, and such, which are a good animal. But the Northern Plains knew the buffalo. I have no buffalo here for a single very simple reason. But this is deer. Deer is very common in the garments of the men and the women. This skin is the way they would have worn it, say, 200 or 300 years ago. Each has their own way. Each tribe, each nation, I mean, has its own colors, its own songs, its own hymns, its own prayers. To me, to say, this is what an Indian looks like is as ridiculous as saying, that man looks like an European. That man speaks a European. That man eats European food. What I might say is, well, I'm assuming, to say, that man is Greek. He knows the Greek language. He knows Greek food. In the same way, the people we have to understand are different, are individuals. But those I speak of now are like Northern Plains. Of those people I lived among for 4 years, and I'll speak about them in regalia, as I call it. Not the costume, the regalia that I wear. This is the way it was done 200-300 years ago. It was almost like we call now a poncho. You take the skin of the deer, the larger hind quarters, the smaller towards the head, and sew two pieces together. They use sinew, the part off the back, or the backbone here, back of legs, or back of the back. It's long strips, pull them finer, twist them like that, and that was their thread. And with a bone awl, usually a sharpened antler, even a piece of obsidian, if they could get it in trade, puncture a hole, so, and that was it. Now, as you see, it actually is very comfortable. Now, if I was out in 90 degree weather, I might have to take this to the dry cleaners, I don't know. But I wear it, if you'll also notice, with the rough side out. Now, if I can, let me walk around and show some of you. There are two sides of the skin. In fact, would you pass this around just so everybody see it? Make sure those are coming out. That's also deer. This is a side we call brain. You take a magnifying glass, look at your hand, and you'll see the little crosshatches and little hairs. That's what this is. Little brother deer here used to have hair right there.
Is it warm?
It can get warm. It's comfortable now because the fan is on.
Winter,
it's not hot.
Winter time.
Oh, yes. It can be very well insulated. This side here is what they call the rough side, the inside, where the organs were and such like that. The women were the experts. They would take a bone scraper, scrape. But to give it that look of 300 years ago, they didn't have chemical baths. If anybody wants to hold it, you know, do something, grab me over it. Because in a sense, I mean, these are, I say, sacred garments. I mean, as every piece of clothing is considered sacred. I don't mean they're super religious. Like the communion cup, I mean, let me just say this in some ways that you understand. I see people who, when I serve communion, I drop the wafer, they go, oh my God, like the roof came in on the church. Well, I mean, it's just a piece of bread. But, of course, it is more than bread. We know that. But it's also just a piece of bread. Don't worry, man. In the same way, this is just skin, but also, as you understand, this is more than skin to me. Now, to make it, give it the authentic look, I did not buy a split, which would have had both sides rough. The outside looked just like the inside, because the way I was told by a trader, it was so rough when they scraped, even this lost some of this grain surface, the grain look, the pretty look that you get to your wallets or purses. It looked like this on the outside and on the inside. So this is the way I wear it to give the appearance. This is how it would have looked 300 years ago. Now you might see people who wear it this way, which is actually the more comfortable. Because I've been told, whenever I go outdoors, 90 degree weather, and very hot, this rain side, John, they said, well, stick to your skin like a piece of saran wrap, and you have to peel your clothes off. So that's why I have a fan on. The leggings, these are called leggings, not pants. These are deer skin also, a single hide. They simply, these now the old ways, before they got to be much more fancier. They got trade cloth, trade beads, thread, needles. They can be elaborate, magnificent looking regalia. Mine is just, as I say, the old way, which is the way I like. It has the hair, who knows what the hair is?
Horse hair.
Yes, yeah, horse hair. I don't wear human hair. I mean, I don't wear it as a scalp lock. This is not meant to be scalp lock. Some did use horse hair to represent scalps. But this represents the people, the Oyate. The horse hair was known among them, in a sense, as to also represent the humans. And the medicine people who wore this would have understood. And the people who understood, this man is saying he is honoring all of you, your people. Blue is one of my personal colors. That's why I wear this way. Once again, in the old days, this never would have happened. See what I'm doing right now. Why? Because you have known all this already. You've been told all these things from childhood. You have understood this. But I tell you now, in a sense, in a way, as I say, better to have at least some light than to be totally wondering or ignorant about such things. Now, they likely, most likely, will not tell you these things that are powerful. Not because they don't want to necessarily, because, well, it's just not the way. So you have an opportunity now to hear these things are learning.
You've talked sometimes about personal clothes. Are these clothes that were given to you, or clothes that you've personally chosen?
Well, given to me, yes. Given to me. Again, see, I say things now that most consider sacred. And we spoke of this in our first session, so I would repeat for this one moment now. Nobody raises your hand, and nobody asks a question. Out of respect to me and through this. The colors came in a vision, and that's why I use these colors. In one of the visions, which I don't feel like it's not necessary to repeat the whole thing, but to say a wise man appeared in regalia, and his regalia was soft, maybe something like this, and he had blue. And so, in honor of that vision, that's one of the colors that I wear. That very often is how a person selects a color. Quite honestly, sometimes it's just, well, whatever was available in the trade shop that day. Or it was what father's colors were. Or it was, honestly, whatever was the prettiest. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with that. So not everything has some sacred meaning, so you understand that. But it all has meaning, though. The feathers that I wear, someone asked before, most native people, especially the traditional ones, the feather was given or earned at times in ceremony, or sometimes taken from a bird, the skins from a deer, an elk, or such a buffalo. First, say how we receive them, This is how a traditional person, again, I know there's many ways to be an Indian today. I speak about those who follow the old teachings, traditional. They would first take their pouch, which I have here. It's also a deer skin, a different color. And before they ever dared step out on a path to hunt and to take a life, which is really what was happening, I have tobacco and I have sage in here. They would take some of the tobacco out of this. Oh, some of you, if you like, maybe who have not yet smelled this, why don't you take it out of this, pass it around. Sniff that. Don't chew it. It's only sage. As I said, like what you might find in spaghetti sauce. But I don't know really what the process has been through to get to the state it's at. But, and this is just tobacco. I buy mine. So again, now these are some things they won't always tell you. I'll tell you though. I buy mine at Walmart because that's where it's the cheapest. It's on sale. A little pouch. Something, whatever. Silver. Because I don't smoke. But and I do a ceremony. That's why I carry the tobacco. And they will have taken some of this tobacco. Now this, you need to leave in the pouch. Pass that around. Sniff the aroma. Maybe you better hold on. I don't know where this proper place to put it. I'll return. What they would do is they would, this way a little bit, to the east, or towards a place where the deer were, offer first a gift. They would give this tobacco, sometimes to the four directions. To the one above, and to Mother Earth. And then they would leave that. Sometimes a bead, sometimes feathers, sometimes a skin. And then they would say prayer. And this is how, now I don't know these persons, these skins, but all the artwork that I do, these are some things now I do as a professional artist. When I receive these skins, for all of them I offer tobacco again, because I don't know who hunted this. I offer tobacco and sage to the deer. I hope you would be pleased to let this be used to speak of holy symbols and do, in one way, to help teach others the beauty of Northern Plains artwork, as well as something, in a way, as in the old days, to help me feed my children. Because as I sell these things and I get some money and I can buy food, it's as simple as that. So these skins I've all prayed over. Then they would have said to the deer, "We are sorry, our brother or sister, but I must ask if I can take your life." If, usually the way you say if. Sometimes they even say, "If you don't want to die today, tell me, and I'll go away." And what they would do then, if they felt in their hearts, the deer would say yes, and then only they would hunt. If they felt in their heart, and I mean this is for real, the deer's, I should say, the deer nation would say to them, "No, not today, brother." They would put away the bow and go back to camp. But when they took them, they took only the mountain they needed, and everything else left to roam free, unhurt. And everything they took of the animal, they used it. I mean, down to the hoofs. The hoofs are what you see I wear. There was one over there. Somebody just wanted two, one on a string. There's a two on a string, yeah. The big one. Why don't you just start passing it around? That's a deer hoof. And if you hear, if everyone listens to this, you hear that sound? Can you hear that sound? Now imagine 100 dancers all together at a dance. And it's like a crescendo, it's like an orchestra. That's to the native people a sign, a way of honoring. Not a way of saying, now we get into some difficult areas. Throw some ink on the Indian because they're wearing furs of an animal. So I hope to God I never ever see that happen. Now I don't argue with those who do it in other ways, on other people for other reasons. But if you understand, I know there's natives who do it for reasons other than this. But those I know, the elders, have said prayers and have apologized. And have said what they will do will be a dance for the people. That's why they wear their skins. And so there is no shame In a sense, it is an honor, a privilege, and it is humbling to be able to wear clothing like this. And that is the attitude of those that I know who wear furs and skins and such and pelts. to get back then quickly to the fetters. Now, what time is it?
It's 10:48.
Okay. The feathers I wear, those who are warriors, which I never was in battle, I was never in the service. My father was a decorated. I was given this feather. This is a wild turkey. Not necessarily the kind you find in your dinner plate at Thanksgiving. It's a wild turkey, considered sacred. It was said that in the legend that one day when the sun was dying and was going to remove itself all the way from the people of the earth, perhaps we don't know, for sadness or for their ways, all the birds tried to save the piece of the sun. None could do it. One finally volunteered. That was the wild turkey. And in this story, the wild turkey finally makes it all the way up to the sun and saves a bit even as it's dying. And as the flow flew back and such, and the winds caught again, and the wings flapped, it was able to save the earth because the sun again then could live. So they consider the wild turkey a very sacred, noble bird. And this is their naming feather, the sachem, the chief. I'm trying to think of all the people I know. There was there to honor them also, a wildcat. I was told slur turtle, the medicine man of the Wapanding Nation, wildcat, the one who was of the Mi'kmaq and an elder, and then Windsong, the one who gave me the feather, Wapanog chief, or sachem as they call it. In the naming ceremony, they welcome you to a circle. they suggest a name sometimes, or they say, you tell us of yourself, and your life will give you your name. That's what happened in my case. And then three times they say, welcome, Buffalo Robe, welcome, Buffalo Robe, welcome, Buffalo Robe. Everyone shakes your hand, and you have a big party, big feast. And there were several that had this done. This feather is one that in ceremony out east, I spoke in New Hampshire, and after the ceremony was almost over, walking along the path in the woods, it was just laying there. It, almost as a gift, I felt, like right out in the middle of a path, nowhere. So I kept this to remember that ceremony. To say just one thing about the feathers, the people that I know of, the traditional ones, I've never heard of ever running out and trying to rip the feathers off of an eagle or a crow or a turkey or anything. If they must hunt, it's in a sense the same way as a deer. They offer prayers. But to hunt an eagle is, of course, the traditional way, only for a chosen few and only those who to do it properly. The other birds are still offered, of course, something to give before you take or ask. The moccasins, these are sewn also in the old way, the earlier way, before they had use of some of the rawhide or use of modern leather. It's a single piece, flip under my foot, sewn along here this way, on the front, right here, the toe around this way. It is all soft deer skin. There's this, the flap, it's cut right in the middle, folded over, as it goes behind the ankle, around again, and deer skin laces. Actually, they are incredibly comfortable. I have some Dr. Scholl's pads in the inside, though. As one traditional dancer told me, Kenny in Wapanog Nation, he's complaining to his wife, beautiful, lovely wife, and they're just married recently. He said, boy, he says, my moccasins are so thin, when I step on a dime, I know if it's heads or tails. But he was an excellent dancer. I learned from him. Now, we have some things here I want you to look at and to browse at your convenience. The first, if you understand now, I am a professional artist as well as a professional speaker. This is some of my work. If you understand this, I've been invited to be a part of a catalog out of North Dakota, sponsored in part by the Department of Agriculture and a local gallery, so I hope to market some of these things. So I've been experimenting. This is one of my earlier experiments. In the final form, I actually changed some of the colors, so the yellow is not pure yellow. There was a red behind me originally. Anyway, this is Tatanka, the buffalo black, and with a symbol, which I never have yet been explained to me, but this was taken, a design from an old TV cover, about 300 years, 200 years old, that was somehow sketched, whatever. And these are, right here, wavy lines are not arrows. They're the Northern Plains symbol for bullets. These are the four colors for the human races. The people of the Black Nation, the Red Nation, the White Nation, and the Yellow Nation. And so they, of course, repeated again, in a sense, to make a circle, which is as a hoop of all of life. And the buffalo was the symbol of the universe to the Northern Plains people. Because, as they say in ceremony, the buffalo feeds all with all that it is. It clothes, it houses, it protects, it gives up its life, very often willingly. It's a nomadic, tribal animal, let's say. And the buffalo of the four-leggeds was considered very sacred. This again, horse hair. This on sort of bronze-colored deerskin.
What's the significance of the red inside the buffalo?
That's what I haven't found out. I wish I knew. I know it's an ancient symbol. Mm-hmm. I've seen the heart, I've seen it in deer, an elk, the arrow. Does anybody know? I don't know. But I like to tell the truth. Does somebody want to clear those photos away kind of gently? Does somebody hold up that first blue skin color?
You make your own color?
The skin?
From
no, I am not a tanner. I buy these already, the colors they are, from hunters and trappers and traders I know, and dealers in Montana and Washington, and maybe eventually on my way back home, and North Dakota. They are dyed commercially. If you had ever smelled the magnificent aroma of a smoked deer skin, you would never forget it. This was artificially giving the appearance of smoke, of dye. I mean, sometimes the native people themselves use dye, earth dyes, and berry dyes, and such. This would be more, well, this actually would be almost a natural, just plain color of the deer skin. This is the symbol of one of the sacred winged ones. The colors of black and red also are colors, my personal colors, given to me again as I spoke of the one of blue before. And it is of almost, as you can see, sometimes I try to make it like an arc, like it's ascending. The sacred winged one, let me show this, is understood as a carrier of prayer to the one above. So this is the one I call eagle ascending. I call this, what do I call this? Buffalo, sacred buffalo. Right, just sacred buffalo. Because this, in a sense, is sacred to me. This is eagle ascending, carrying with it, it says, the prayers of the people to the one above. Particularly Lakota say it's a spotted eagle. The Wombly, the eagle, the spotted eagle that flies the highest, they say. Sometimes the golden eagle, very highly regarded. And of course, among some, it is the bald eagle. Now this was done though with ink. It's very special. I mean, you can don't do this, but you're almost like that. This was done with hand, 5 or 7 coats of paint. See, I'm learning now a better way. You ever try to stretch this out on a wood frame, don't do it. It's not just to hang gently like this. There'll be little tiny cracks. So I found a way now through an entrepreneur who has, quite honestly, silk screening, which sometimes has a bad name for some people, but it's just a process where they make a lot of your t-shirts or such. But he has the pure colors, solid colors, that you've already tried it once, and as I'm able to market these things, he takes his little squeegee rubber, it's beautiful, and it takes 3 seconds. So guess which way I'll do this. 5 hours for one buffalo, or 3 seconds. I guess sometimes maybe the people of old days maybe wish they had a squeegee and some ink, but I guess it is not the very traditional way. But to me, it's still a good way because it's with the colors, and what's meant to convey, I think, is conveyed. This was done by hand, though, I think, all hand done. I had much finer lines in a sense. This is, if somebody wants to hold this up, our brother here did a lot of hard work in feathers, but somebody hold up that one. Yes.
Are these meant to be decorations?
These are, you put it up on your wall and just leave it there. And these aren't made to be like sewn into a shirt. I mean, if you did, I don't know if you could ever wash it, the ink might flow or something. You know, well, it's ink made for a shirt, I guess it wouldn't flow. In other words, it's not meant to be stretched a lot or tied onto a hoop. I mean, you could if you did it gently and just left it there. But I These are meant just to hang on my wall. Just have here. Put up in a mail. Get it there. Fireplace, a den. I guess, did you have something else you think we could do with it?
No, I was just curious as what if it had any other function.
This is a symbol of the bear. The bear is the animal of the West, the bear nation. The animal color, actually the West, we're often among the Dakota Lakota, is black. But quite honestly, I hope if the bear does mind, I couldn't put black on a very cocoa brown. So instead, another sacred color, which is sacred, is a color of power, which is one of the three attributes, the main three attributes of the bear, is red. The bear is known as healing, as power, and as self-knowledge. Many of the medicine people use bear claws, bear toes. This I show you, but this I don't want to, if it would be all right, I don't want anyone to pass around. This is my own private thing. I'm going to give this as a gift when I go to New Hampshire. This is a bear tooth. Not from an endangered species or such. I wouldn't want to buy something from an endangered species, but this is a bear tooth, and I'll be giving this to a singer who became a very good friend, and he's a very young man, but has a heart of an old man almost because he's so wise in some ways. And I put that, so I know this. This is one thing people do too. When there's, in a sense, sort of a sacred gathering, or at least a gathering of the people, they'll sometimes lay their objects around. So in a sense, the presence of the people would bless them. Sometimes the fire bless. That's why I brought this. So you, in a sense, by your presence, would bless this necklace for this young man. He's about 16, 15 years old, and he's trying real hard to be a good singer and a good drummer. And he's doing a very good job. I mean, a native drummer on the wooden drum with the rawhide over. And he's sung at powwows all over the East Coast. And I believe one day he'll sing maybe all over the world. Who knows? That is the bear. They say of healing, because the medicine people use much of the bear. Of power, obviously, as the warden would say, never mess. Like, don't poke the bear with a stick, okay? It's not poke the bear. I heard some expression like that. Very true. But end of self-knowledge, because of the West, the color black, it says the bear goes into his cave and with his thoughts in his heart ponders and meditates. We're talking about the seasons, of course, and then arises to a new life. And many believe, in a sense, this is a strong thing about self-knowledge of people. Yes, now I agree with that. Good. Okay, now, do we have questions as such before we begin our projects?
Would you explain these two pieces?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I just forgot about that. This is a dancing stick. This, I guess right or left doesn't matter, would be held in the hand of sometimes a traditional male dancer, sometimes a woman, one of the elders of the tribe. And when they dance, very often dance are very solemn, it was just something like this. And when they dance victory, let's say, or to imitate an animal, sometimes they became the animal in a sense. But this would be just a very gentle, very slow dance, and just be held in the hand like this. This is what the Sioux called a horse stick, or a horse dancing stick, or a dance stick. I mean, if you can see, this sort of looks like a horse. But it's just a branch off of a tree near where I live, by the river. And now some are, of course, much smaller. I don't know if I've seen too many much larger, but for some reason, it just attracted me. And also, this will be given as a gift to someone here today. I don't need someone in this room, unless I see her. It's a secret. I'm trying to trick her to come to the dance tomorrow. To give that to her. Because she's one of those who works on it. I said, okay, I'm very curious now who this person is. She works here at Hogan. Oh, yeah. See, that's what happens when you get old. This is a prototype, as all these skins are, because I'm still working on the final form. I haven't yet sewn this together or glued it. But this is a raffle. I mean, obviously, this is a deer toe. Like a foot. And these are, they call dew claws. They're like halfway up the deer leg if some of you are hunters. And this was used not only, but for sure by those of the Warrior Society, those they call the Vision or Dream Society. And it was not like only a few could do this. I mean, many could have rivals. This shows you one example of the type, not to copy it. I never would do that because I don't have their permission. They're gone. But inspired, as I say, because each could look at another. You know, it wasn't proper. Say, oh, he has yellow star. Like, Yeah, I like that. They go home and they do it. They better not. Not if they want to be considered honorable people. I was there, they did, and they really wanted something almost just like it. If you could go up to the person, offer them some tobacco, and say, I have a very important question to ask, if I may. And if they're yes or no. And you could say, I really like your regalia. Can I make one just like it? Now, if it's a sacred, I assume most cases they will say, well, no. If it's just sort of a social regalia or something looks nice, they might say, well, sure, be flattered. But to look at something and then to gain insight and to honor them in a sense, many of the people, of course, I mean, that is the way they all did it. The children looked at the old man and saw how he dressed. And in a sense, one way said, now, when I am a young man, that's how I'll dress as a lawyer. Any other questions or comments? Such as, well, yes.
Yeah, when we tear a garment somebody breaks a piece of artwork, we get glue out and start to repair it. But when I saw at a powwow, somebody was, they were dancing around, they were warning the young ones, if a feather drops off a garment during ceremony, not to just pick it up and, you know, scoot it back on, that there was some very important...
Okay, I'll tell you about that. In fact, that'll be tomorrow, the dance. I'll explain step by step what a powwow was about. It's not good. It's in the context. Let me just say this and then I'll get to you. This again is the ascending eagle, but this is a pouch I use for some of my medicine. Pouches could be the sewn together skin of a beaver or of a muskrat, a moose hide tied together. It could be fur. It could be a trade cloth even. But inside would be some of the sacred possessions. So if you see sometimes dancers who have the pouch, there it is. Usually that's tobacco and sage. A much larger bag, sometimes it's called a bundle. Don't ever ask to see what's in there, please. It would be like walking up to your priest, and he's got his little, the box he carries to the hospital with the sacred elements. You say, hey priest, show me what it is. Red wine, white wine, let me see. I mean, would you do this to a priest? No, the same thing, if it's a medicine bundle as such, it's very sacred. If it's just a pouch, usually it's just general. I want us to assume to start. What I'm thinking is it might be better, instead of just spending time just making it right here, I'll show you and you can carry it back to your rooms. Because apparently you still want to talk. So, here's you, sir, the feather. That's all right. We'll continue our discussion a little longer. The only time I've heard them, and they have been extremely adamantly direct to say, this must be done this way to be done properly, is if an eagle feather falls. Mm-hmm. Now, every feather, understand, every bird is sacred. But the way I've been taught and the way I've seen at powwows, if a dancer loses an eagle feather, and very often these are the real feathers. I mean, you can buy artificial, and quite honestly, sometimes the people do not have access to or cannot afford, or through trade, let's say, or through a gift, cannot be given a true eagle feather. By federal law, I know every Native American who can prove it somehow has a right to have so many eagle feathers. But sometimes they have to buy the artificial type. And sometimes, I'll say this thing to you, because yeah, it is true. Perhaps you know, perhaps you don't. And I've known some of the older men and the older women, even the younger ones, the Native people who are very holy, work very hard, train for hours or days or weeks to dance, and they have the poorest of garments, because that's all mom or dad could afford. And then comes in, this is now I speak of the East Coast, I don't know yet the West Coast powwows, but then what we call hobbyists. You know, okay, you heard a little bit of that, hobbyist, okay. But there's also, though, good, a hobbyist. One, white people who dress up like Indians, some who, of course, by the Native people detest this, some who say, wonderful, the dance should be for all races. I say it's good when I've talked to so many people and they say they study long and hard, they read the books, they watch the people, and they even go to the elders maybe and say, do you think it'd be improper for me to wear this or wear that? In fact, there are some powwows where they say to the white people, I mean, not over the PA, but it's understood by the dancers, if you're white, dress like an Indian if you want. I don't know how else to say it. Wear skins if you want. Wear beads, wear feathers. And dance with us. We want this. We enjoy this. The Creator is happy when all of His children dress beautifully. So there's no problem. Anyway, I throw it in. The eagle feather, usually a warrior, one who has actually served in battle, not necessarily active service, was in battle, we then be asked to go out to the place. All would clear the dance floor. All would be quiet. Sometimes a drum would beat. And usually then, with sacred gift, they'd walk around the feather. Because, to understand this, to the native traditional person, the feather is alive. And the spirit of the creature is still somehow in there. And this is a living being, in a sense. And he would circle around it, offering tobacco. And very gently, and sometimes after four times, the sacred number of Lakota. I say this because I speak of a Lakota dancer, many horses, very highly regarded. He was asked to do this once. And then he would very gently pick up the feather. And then everyone would, sigh of relief. And then give it back to the dancer. The dancer then would give a gift to the holy man who did this, and usually to the drum group, to say thank you for your song as we did this. And then everyone could dance again. But I've seen literally, I've been to Bismarck, into the International UTEC, United Tribes Powwow, 1,000 registered dancers, 40 drum groups, 40,000 people, I think, came during the whole thing. I saw every dancer stop dead like that when someone said, I don't know if he said Wambli, but eagle or eagle feather. Bam. First of all, because they didn't know where it was. They didn't want to be under their foot, of course. But it is that highly regarded. Yes, there's other questions.
I wonder how you acquired your feathers. I was told that if I were out hiking in the woods and things like that, if we see a feather on the ground, we are not to take it, pick it up and take it with us.
Oh, you mean by, like by the warden or something?
Well, who said that? Where that rule has come from, I've just been told by some of my friends that like if you see a flick of feather or you see a hawk feather or something on the ground, you are not
taken. Well, I'm in big trouble then, I guess.
Okay, so you acquire yours by...
Now, the way I have been taught, my teachers speak only to me and to themselves. And what I say here, everything I've ever said or ever will say this week, I was told, this is the way Sitting Bull said, the white man walks... Okay, and we know my mother was white. My father, I'm still trying to identify if he was Indian. He said, if a white man walks and leaves in a trail behind him something good, he said, pick it up. Now, I don't mean he meant if he drops a couple of dollar bills necessarily. But if there is something good in the white race, pick it up. But if there is something bad, leave it alone. Don't even touch it. If you find from what I say and what others say here, because I'm not the only speaker here, we say, that's good. Take it home with you. Let it feed you. If what you find here means nothing to you or even offends you, well, just leave it alone. Just walk away. It's fine. As far as the feather, see what I've been told, you do what you want with this, that in a sense, as long as you didn't walk up to the bird and scare it half to death and it flying away dropped the feather, that's an insult to the bird. If it's just laying there, in a sense, many say, well, the Creator gave us a gift. Okay? Now, if you see roadkill, I mean, in the middle of the road, honestly, so you know it wasn't the will of Otkontanka, but it was some motorist who just was going 90 miles an hour. But I have had traditional dancers who have said to me, one of the best places I get my feathers or skins is roadkill. Because I don't have to kill the creature. Now we know, of course, the creature died. But they say, it's just my way. That I feel, rather than let the carcass rot and be run over and over and over again, why not, in a sense, give it honor by using the feathers or the skin or the teeth or the fur or whatever in the regalia, in a sense to say, look, everyone, this bird is still beautiful to me. Or look, everyone, this animal, this four-legged, is still wonderful, and I honor it by wearing it. So actually, some consider it a good thing, yes.
How about eagle feathers? Is it, as I understand, unlawful to own
them? Well, it is, I guess, for anyone except a Native American who can, quote-unquote, prove it. They are a protected species. I guess all of them. They're bald and it's spotted.
On the ground, you're not supposed to pick it up.
Right, you're not supposed to. It isn't, oh, gee, well, I didn't steal it, so I can have it. No, it's, don't even touch it. I want to get now to explain to you how to make some of these crafts. Does anybody have a comment or a question that's really important to them? Okay. Because we have about 15 minutes or so.